Boker Tov, and we're continuing on in our series on the study of Daf Yomi in Masechet Chagiga, and this morning we're beginning the second parak. The second parak is essentially made up of three parts. The first part, which occupies several dapim, is among the more mystical and esoteric sections that we have in Shas Bavli. The second section is a return to issues relating to Chagiga and to bringing Korbanot on Yom Tov. And the end of the parak is the first part of something that will occupy the rest of the Masechet, which is issues of Tumah v'Tahara, specifically as they relate to the Regel. The first Mishnah, which can easily be seen to be a continuation from the previous Mishnah that discusses different areas of Torah study, limits areas of instruction, or shall we say the size of the group that engages in various disciplines. Ein dorshim ba'areyot b'shlosha. Simple read of the text is that you're not allowed to study or teach the laws of areyot, of illicit liaisons, with three people. Lov ma'aseh b'reishit b'shnayim, and not to discuss the intricacies of creation. We'll leave it at that for right now. With two people, lov merkava b'yachid. Merkava, which is the opening passage and several other passages in the book of Yechezkel, which is understood to be the Tanakh anchor for the most mystical text that we have, is not allowed to be taught even by an individual. Unless he's somebody who already is wise and somebody who can figure things out on his own. Now, the second half of the Mishnah says, "Kol mistakel b'arba'ad varim ratui lo," or another girsot, ratui lo, gilu lo ba'ala olam. Anybody who tries to investigate the following four areas, it's better that he wouldn't have been born. This is mala 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 mata, and the mala here understood to be what is beyond the heavens and what is below the earth. Malithnim mali achor, malithnim meaning what was before creation, mali achor, what will be after the end of days. Anyone who is not careful about the proper respect for his creator also should not have been created. The Gemara will discuss what this means. Okay, so the opening salvo of the Gemara is to try to understand how you could possibly say you cannot even study the Merkava, an individual. Well, then there really couldn't be such study. Amar Peresh v'lo Merkava v'yachid, and Amar Del V'kein Hayach Chacham Mevin Midato. So you said that a Merkava is the study of the Merkava, of the esoteric science and mysticism, cannot be studied even by one, unless he's wise and understands on his own. How could that work? So the proper prefix here in all of them should not be a bet among three, but rather lishlosha, two, three, meaning that there is a Rebbe teaching three people, arayot, teaching two people, masa breshi, teaching one person, masa merkava. Those are all beyond the acceptable limit. Right? So the only one you're allowed to teach is someone who is already wise and able to understand. Now let's take a look at these one by one. We now understand what the law is. The question is, what's the reason for it? Why aren't you allowed to teach the laws of Ariot to three? The Gemara is going to raise several possible textual anchors for this, all of which are going to be defeated. My Tama. So take a look at the Psukim on the page. And you say, Yila Mishum Gaktiv Ish Ish Akosha Erbasarom. So in the introduction to the law, to the laws of illicit liaisons in Vayikra Yudchad, it says, Ish Ish should not come close to his flesh of his flesh, as it were, as members of his own family, consanguinity. Ish Ish Trey. So Sher Basaro is Chad. So the idea is Ish Ish plus Sher Basaro, meaning allusion to three people. You should not come close and go to Rav. Some sort of an allusion, a hint to saying three people should not get together to study these laws. But that doesn't work. Several other laws where it uses this phrase, ish, ish, and nobody's going to suggest you can't study the laws of the prohibition of cursing God's name or of worshiping Molech with a certain amount of people. Achinami? The answer is that the reason it says ish ish in those cases is to extend the law even to non-Jews. And indeed, both cursing God and Avodah Zarah are things that are among the seven Noahide laws. So the same thing, Ish Ish, in the introduction to the illicit liaisons, is there to extend it to non-Jews. So that cannot be our source. Elal, let's try a different one. Again, in the introduction to the laws of the Arayot, it says, you shall guard my guard. Ushmartem, in the plural, tre, that's two. Mishmarti, chad, that's my, and given the singular, so together it's three. You should guard it, so you shouldn't do it. So in other words, don't do this three together. The Torah says you should keep Shabbat. The Torah says you should guard the matzot. The Torah says you should be careful about shemot and masorot. Hachinami? You're going to say there that those laws can't be studied in three or so. Rashi tears this whole thing up and says it has nothing to do with psukim. What the law here is not about some formal thing where certain topics are technically or formally forbidden to a certain size group, but rather it's talking about legal nuances, fine nuances about the laws of Arayot. You're not allowed to teach them to three. My tama, Svaru. The answer is it's all based on pedagogy and public policy. It's reasonable. Beitre, when you have two people, and the Rebbe teaching two people, kiyat become your abayu. They're sitting in front of the Rebbe. Chad shalke v'tar v'ad your abayu. So one of them may ask his Rebbe a question, and they'll go back and forth. Vidach, matzli udne the Gemara. And the other one is going to listen to the give and take. That's if you have two. Tvata, but if you have three, chad shalke v'tar v'ad your abayu. One of them will ask his Rebbe a question, and they'll go back and forth. The other two are going to be discussing with each other. And they'll miss the nuances of what the Rebbe is teaching. And the concern is that they, as students, are then going to go out and be rabbis, and they're going to teach erroneously and rule erroneously in the areas of Arayot, and God forbid, allow a woman who's married to marry someone else or some other piece, which, truth to tell, from a very small nuance in the law, a very large breach could come. So if that's the case, then any area of Torah should be the same way. If somebody's, if you're teaching three people about malicha, about salting meat, and so one person asks you the question, the other two are talking, and they miss a nuance, and somebody goes out and teaches erroneously about malicha, that's also bad. So all of Torah, anytime you're teaching halacha at least, should always be taught in a group of two or to one. And of course, that's not the case. So Arayot Shalim Amar Gezel Arayot Nafshom Mechamnatan. Arayot is different because Arayot is something that a person always has a lust for. And if that's the case, then people are always going to be looking for a leniency. And therefore, if they hear, they misheard, they heard partial, they're going to be inclining in that direction. That's because both theft and Arayot are in that category. Mitav Elohim. So Yachi Gezel Nami, so if that's the case, then it should be that you cannot teach the laws of theft and of Metziah, etc., things where you could claim somebody's property and make it your own if it's found without Simonim, etc. You can't teach that to three people for the same reason. That somebody will miss a nuance and then they'll decide in a lenient fashion, erroneously. The answer is Arayot Ben Mefanav Ben Shalom Mefanav Nafi Shitzrei. Person's temptation for arayot is true whether or not the object of that lust is present or not. When it comes to theft, generally a person's lust for an item that's not his only is aroused when he's in the presence of it. Generally, a person's going to be ruling not in the presence of the item. And therefore, when it comes to arayot, we're more concerned. Good. So now the second item in the Mishnah is that Masa Breishit, the intricacies and nuances of creation of the world cannot be taught to two. Why? Manani Mili. Now this we really do have a pasuk for. Tan Rabbanan. It's a pasuk from Dvarim Dalet, which is pasuk number 1 of the first pasukim on the page. It says, "Kisha'alna liyamim rishonim ashayu lefanecha." Ask about the earlier days. This is the part of the whole theological presentation that Moshe has, not saying, has it ever happened? Ask, has it ever happened in history that God came and took one nation from among other another nation and raised it up the way he did, etc., as God did for you? So, kishal nali yamim shanim. Ask, and it's in the singular. Ask about the early days. Aha, so yachid shoel, and shnayim sholin. So you see that only an individual is allowed to seek out about the early days. I might think that an individual, as long as he's allowed to ask, can even ask about what happened before creation. Go back and ask about the early days since God, man was on the earth. In other words, that's as far back as you can ask. So I might think if that's the case, you cannot ask about the first 5 days of creation because there was no man then. That's why it says the early days that were before you, meaning before you as humankind. Maybe a person is allowed to investigate things that, of course, purely speculative. What's above the heavens, what's below the earth, what happened before creation, what will happen after entropy. In that same pasuk, it says from one end of the heaven to the other. In other words, what was within the known universe, there you can investigate. Now that you used the passage in the pasuk that says from one end of the heaven to the other, then the what do you need the first part of the pasuk that says ask about the early days since man was here? After all, we allow him to ask even before that. We allow him to ask, and the boundaries are from one end of the heaven to the other. The answer is Rabbi Elazar. That pasuk's really for something else. Rabbi Elazar, Adam Rishon min ha'aretz ve'al ha'rakia. Originally, man created, stood from the earth all the way to the heaven. Right? From the time that God created man, al ha'aretz. Once man sinned, God put his hand on man and diminished him. Beautiful passage in Tehillim Kuftam Nalamitet, which is a gorgeous parak of Tehillim about creation, the creation of man, and the formation of the individual. It says, you have Achor Vakedem Tzartani, you formed me front, back and front, and you put your hands on me. Good. Now, parenthetically, and that should be mentioned probably every day that we're studying this section, is there are clearly very profound and deep ideas that are embedded in these texts. But the simple read of them is often quite fantastic and somewhat difficult to read on a literal level and accept. But we'll study the text and those who have the opportunity to look into several of the passages on a deeper level. Baruch Chalkam. But here and there I may mention particular ideas. I'm Rav Yehuda Merab. Adam Yishon Misof Alam V'yad Sofo Hayah. Primordial man was from one end of the world to the other. It says, from the time that God created man on the earth, from one side of heaven to the other. Now, of course, the simple read of the text is that seek out information from, has there ever happened anything under the heavens like this? But the way that we're reading the pasuk is from the time that God created man from this place to the next. All right. So if that's the case, then the text seems to be challenging itself or contradicting itself. It says that either man reached from earth to heaven or from one end of the sky to the other. The answer is that's the same amount. There's 10 things that were created on the first day. Heaven and earth, tov avohu, whatever those may mean, some void and form. The Ramban reads it as form and matter, or vachoshech, ruach umayim, so light and dark, wind and water, midat yom midat laila, and the length of a day and the length of the night. Shemayim va'aretz, where is that? Dichtiv, reshit baralim et ha'shemayim va'aretz, that's easy. In the beginning, God had created heaven and earth. Tov vavohu, what's that? Dichtiv va'aretz hayta tov vavohu. In the second pasuk, it says the earth was form and matter, whatever we read it. Or v'choshech, how do we know that light and darkness were created? Then choshech tichti v'choshech al pnei tahom. In the second pasuk it says that there was darkness over the chasm. Or tichti v'emor lehim yior. And God said, let there be light. Ruach Mayim, those are both in the first day. Dichtiv Ruach Elim Rachevet Al Pnei Mayim. God's spirit, the Ruach, was hovering over the water. Midat Yom Midat Laila, the length of a day and of a night. Dichtiv Ahir Avayvoke Yom Echad, there was evening and there was morning, first day. Parenthetically, important to note that the way the Chazal are reading this is that the first two psukim occurred on the first day. That's not the simplest way to read the text, because the verb bara is in the pluperfect, which indicates an already completed action. And probably the proper way to translate the first verse is, in the beginning God had already created the heavens and the earth, and the earth had already been tov avo, etc. And the first action we read is in pasuk gimel, vayomer Elohim yehi or, that's the first that's in the imperfect, in which we're following the action. Right. Tana, tohu, what's tohu? Kav yarok shemakifet kol olam kulo. It's some green line that circles the entire world. Shemenu yatsa choshech. That's where darkness comes from. Shenemar yasher choshech sitro svivotav. God places darkness around the earth. Bohu, what's bohu? Elo avanim fulamot. These are muddy rocks. Mishukaot batahom, that are deep in the chasm. Shemehen yotzin mayim. And that's where all the water comes from. Shenemar nata alav kav tohu viavne bohu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. He stretched out the line of Tohu and the rocks of Bohu. Now, for Or B'Yom, now we're going to take a look at the issue of Or. For Or B'Yom Rishon Ivri, was light really created on the first day? On the fourth day, it says God placed the sun, moon, and the stars in the heavens. That was on the fourth day. The answer is K'Rab Elazar. There's a machloket about how to understand the creation of light on the first day. Emor Belazar, or Shabarak, Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Yom Rishon, the light that God created on the first day, Adam Sofebo Misof HaOlam B'Yad Sofo. This was not the light that we enjoy. This was a light you could use and see from one end of the world to the other. Once God realized that there are going to be later generations that will sin, and he felt that the light is not, they're not worthy to enjoy this light, Amadu Gunazomehan, he hid the light. So in other words, God created light, and according to this read, then hid the light, which means there would have been darkness until the fourth day. Shemar vayimna vayimna min yishayim oran. Pasuk Mishlei that God, or the pasuk that says that God keeps the light from the wicked. Olamiganazo. So who did he hide it for? The tzaddikim latilavo. Tzaddikim in the future. Shemar vayar lehim et haor kitov. Right. It said that God saw the light. Kitov. What's tov? Ain't tov el tzaddik. Shemar imru tzaddik kitov. So we declare to a tzaddik who is good, and therefore, but God saw the light was good, meaning good for the one who was called good, the tzaddik. So that light is buried away, and the light that we're talking about, that we're familiar with, of the fourth day, is a new light that was created. Those are the astral bodies. Once he saw that he had buried it for the tzaddikim for the future, he was happy. And the light of the tzaddikim brings gladness. Ketanoyim. This issue of how to deal with the first day, the light of the first day, is a machloketanaim. Or Shabbat Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Yom Rishon Adam Tzofel Ma'abit Mosof Alam B'Yad Sofot Yivir B'Yakov. So B'Yakov says the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer, that it was a primordial light that was supernatural, at least from our terms. Chamamim Hein Hein Ma'arosh Yivir U B'Yom Rishon V'Lo Nidlo Ad Yom Rivi'in. And Chacham say no, the light of the first day, the same light that ended up being part of the astral bodies, but they were not put in place till the fourth day. So according to that read, that light remained in some sort of effulgence for the first 3 days, and then the fourth day was put places. Amarav Zutra Bartuvya Amarav. So another statement of Rav Bapureshit. Basarat Varim Nivra Ha'olam. The world is created with 10 things, 10 characteristics. What are they? Chochma uvitvuna, wisdom and understanding. Vedat, and it's God utilized all of these components in creating the world, which means these components are also inherently and embedded into creation. Bechokhmah, wisdom, and understanding, vedat, knowledge, v'choach, strength, v'ge'arah, and rebuke, v'gvurah, and power, tzedek, v'mishpat, righteousness, justice, and righteousness, v'chesed, v'rachamim, kindness, and with compassion. So let's see. We have psukim for all of these. We'll go through quickly. These are consecutive psukim and mishlei. God, it says, created the world with wisdom, with understanding, and the chasms were opened up with his knowledge. He prepared the mountains with his power, and he was girded by with valor. Where's the rebuke? Pillars of heaven shake, and are all amazed because of his rebuke. Tzedek u'mishpat, what's that? Tzedek u'mishpat machon kisecha, the foundation of your throne is tzedek u'mishpat. V'chesed v'rachamim, tichtiv zechor hachamecha adonav v'chasadecha, kim me'olam heima. Me'olam meaning they've been here forever, so they must be part of creation. V'yamar v'yudam ha-rav, another statement of Rav, v'shashav ha-gadosh baruch hu et ha-olam, v'machiv ha-olech kishtei pakiyot sholshti. As he was creating the world, it kept getting bigger and bigger, like two balls of yarn that were rolling. Ad shigarba kodesh baruch hu v'midon, until God rebuked them and they stood still. Shnamar amudei shamayim v'fuid mu'migarato. It's another interpretation of that pasuk about the pillars of heaven. Hananam Rish Lakish, that's Rish Lakish says, Admai nechtim ani el Shaddai. Why does God describe himself as Shaddai, which Ben Ezra says is from the word shodei. What? Ani u'shamarti l'olam dai. I am the one who told the world enough, meaning I was creating. Creation was getting, as it were, out of hand, and so therefore I stopped and said, "Die." Amaris Lakish Shabbos Shavar Kodesh Baruch Hu Etayam Harachiv Olech. Not only when God created the earth, but when God created the sea, it was getting bigger and bigger. Shavar Kodesh Baruch Hu VeYipsho, until God rebuked it and it dried up. Shneimar Goer Bayam VeYipshehu Kol Anarot Hichriv. God rebuked the sea and it dried it out and made all of the rivers desolate. Allusion, of course, to Kriyat Yamsuf, but it's a primordial version of Kriyat Yamsuf. Tanu Rabbanan. Very interesting machloket, but Shamayim Shamayim Nivru Tchila V'Chakach Nivrei Ta'aretz. I'll just put a little plug, is that one of the chapters of my book utilizes this part of approach to understanding the two stories of creation. Those of you who are interested, the name of the book is Between the Lines of the Bible and available on Amazon.com. And also, of course, Yashar Books. Shemar Bereshit Ba'alohim Et Hashamayim Et Ha'aretz. But Shammai looks at the first pasuk and says, "You see the order: Shemayim and then Aretz." Betilel Omrim Aretz Nivrei Tchila V'Chakach Shemayim. Betilel says, "No, the land was created first." Shemar in Parak Gibet Pasuk Dalet. V'Yom Asot Adonai Elohim Aretz V'Shemayim. There we go. So Betilel Beit Shemay. So Betilel challenged Beit Shemay. How can you say that the heavens were created first? Divrechem Adam Bone Aliyah V'Chakach Bone Bayit. According to you, a person first builds an upper story and then builds the house. Here, this pasuk indicates or alludes to the idea that the heavens are sort of like a second story. You got to build the first story first. Bet Shammai the Betilel. Bet Shammai has a rejoinder. As a person first build a footstool and then the throne. In that very famous passage in Yeshayahu Samech Vav, God says that the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. Right? So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel each have these different metaphoric ways of understanding the relationship between heaven and earth and use them to argue which was created first. Chachamim omrim zeh v'zeh k'achat nivrau. Chachamim say, not a compromise, but a reconciliation, they're all created together. Shemar afya diista aretz v'mini tucha shamayim. Korea ani aleihem yamdu yachtab. God says, my hand, which Morg Subot says the left hand, my hand formed the earth, and my right hand formed the heavens. Right? And they stood together. So they all happened together. So what do Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel say about that? V'yidach ma yachtab. How do they, what do they read about together if they both claim that they were done in some sequence? Don't install from Yadadi that they never separate from each other. Kasha cry Yadadi. So what do you do with these psukim now? Breishit and Elatodot. Mishlakish Kshinivrau, Barashamayim Bachakach Bara Haaretz. So Mishlakish says the first pasuk in the Torah is the order which they were actually created. Ukshenatab, when God placed them in place, Nata Haaretz Bachakach Natashamayim. First he set the earth and then he set the heavens around it. Of course, till the Middle Ages, geocentricism fell out of favor, but certainly a reasonable way to understand that first God created the earth and then formed everything around. My Shamayim, so what's the etymology? Why is Shamayim? Shamayim, the heavens. Amar Yosef Achanina Shasham Mayim. There's water up there, primordial waters. Anita Tana, and this is something we dealt with in Tanit, the storehouse of water above. Anita Tana Eshu Mayim. Shamayim is Eshu Mayim, fire and water. God brought the fire and the water together, and that's how he made the firmament. All right, good. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were walking together. Rabbi Shmuel asked him, Amar le'atash shimashta nachum ish gamzo, asum ashtayim shana, shadaresh kol etin shivatora. You were a student of Nachum ish gamzo. Famously, Rabbi Akiva was a student of Nachum. And he darshaned every time it said the word et, some sort of an expansion. This ties in, of course, with the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Gimel, where a Shimon HaMsoni was darshaning every et as an extension until he got to et HaShem HaLakach HaTira, and he stopped, Drisha, and the Prisha, and then Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, et HaShem HaLakach HaTira, Rabot HaMinech HaChamim. But now Rabbi Shmuel is asking him, what did Nachum Ish Gamzu do with et HaShemayim V'Taaretz? Maya Doresh Bayan. Marle, ilu ne'amar shamayim v'aretz, ha'iti yomar shamayim shmo shalak kodesh baruch hu. If it said, breshit bara elohim shamayim, I would think shamayim is the name of God. Shav shemar et ha'shamayim v'ata'aretz, now it says et, I know that it's now the object. Shamayim, shamayim mamash, eretz, eretz mamash. So now, why does it say et ha'aretz? You could have just said, breshit bara elohim et ha'shamayim v'aretz. Why et ha'aretz? Lamali, latim shamayim la'aretz, to let me know that shamayim were created first, and then the earth. By the way, supporting Beit Shammai's approach. Good. And the last piece we're going to see today, Va'aretz hayta tohu vavohu. What does that mean? Mechtiv shamayim atchil bereisha. Everybody now agrees that the first chapter Bereishit, starting from Shamayim, Bereishit barei elohim et ha'shamayim et ha'aretz. Why is the next pasuk describing more about the land that should stay in order, Shamayim and then Aretz? Ma'ishna dekochashim ma'isei Aretz. It's like a king who says to his servants, and early in the morning, I want you all at my door. He came and he found the servants. He also found their wives. Who does he praise more? He's more praiseworthy, he lauds the wives more than the husbands. Why? Because the husbands have to be there. The wives generally don't show up. They showed up. That's very nice. In the same way, God created the Shemayim. And the Shemayim is close to God, as it were. The Aretz, which is further away, so that he gives greater praise to, and therefore he talks more about the development of the Aretz. Tov, we will continue with this most inaccessible Gemara tomorrow. Indeed, we're going to have a special shiur on Shabbat, which will cover this, but I'll podcast it well before Shabbat, Mirz Hashem, so that we will cover the next daf or so, and then continue on in our study of Masechet Chagiga. Everybody should have a wonderful day.